So let's stand. We're going to go right into the Word. Brother Tim Warschlager is going to come and read our opening scripture. And you know, the Church of the Living God is not a building with a cross on it or a sign out front. It is the people. And so let us be mindful today of this. And this is going to be our opening scripture in Mark chapter 16. If we could just turn to that. And Brother Tim Warschlager is going to lead us in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. And why don't we let him read 15? You read 16. He can read verse. We'll just alternate, but we'll all read verse 18. Is that okay, Brother Tim? Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And we'll go right. This is the Great Commission. Nice to have Brother Timothy here to lead us today. Believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues.
They shall take up serpents, and if any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Amen.
And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with sign following. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Timothy. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we've read your word and as we go into this portion of the service, I pray that you'd bless everything that's said and done today, this morning's meeting. We commit to you under your care. Bless Brother Steve Clar also as he handles the word of God. And then in a few moments, I just pray that today would be a wonderful inspiration as we see what you're doing locally and globally in the body of Christ. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats. If you look in Mark 16, and I guess my time starts right now, and let us see how disciplined we are today. And Brother Karim Sharapov and Brother Michael Diaz did really good last Sunday night. So if they did it, I think we can do it. Amen. If you notice in verse 15 to verse 18, nine times, and I have them highlighted on the screen, that Jesus mentioned the word shall. So it's very emphatic. And I want to encourage you today, as Brother Steve and I will be ministering. It reminds me of the 12 spies that went into the land, and two spies came back with a positive report. How many remember that? 10 of them were negative report. That it was a good land, but there's too many giants. Let Brother Steve's ministry and my ministry be positive today to say we are more than able to inherit that land. We, as the believers in what God's doing, as we go into the Great Commission, realizing that it's not just in Jesus' hands, it's not just in Brother Branham's hands, it's not just in the minister's hands, but it's in all of our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world, includes Linden, Bellingham. It includes Ferndale. It includes British Columbia. This is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not just the ministers, not just the prophet, not just Jesus. It's to them that believe. I think you're believers today. I wanted to bring it down into this little lighthouse, End Time Message Tabernacle, that's here in Bellingham. This woman, this lady in Samaria, I was just looking at it again here before coming out, what he said before this quote and after this next quote. I wanted you to see, he was talking about the prostitute woman, and he said she was in a bad shape mentally and physically. But when the word came by her way, she recognized it. She never asked one question. She started right quick with the responsibility to know that if she had found that and come into the presence of God, she was responsible to tell somebody else about it. I'm speaking about responsibility today of the Great Commission. Any man that comes into the presence of God is responsible before God from that minute on to tell somebody else. So we're all responsible. In fact, Brother John put it in my notes. God is going to hold us accountable for what we are doing with what he has done for us. And I also put this in my notes. I'm often ashamed and embarrassed with how little that we do for all that he has done for us. I mean, think about it, friends. It's the greatest thing that could ever come to our lives is that God would appear to you and to me in divine revelation. Something that's been hidden from before the foundation of the world, but now is being revealed. Christ is the mystery being revealed through your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm often ashamed and embarrassed how little that we do after all that he's done. And continuing on, yes, they've got to do it. A man, when we got a responsibility of telling others, as Moses did, as Peter did, as Paul did, after these things you've seen it and come into his presence, you're responsible for the message to get to somebody else. You just cannot sit still with it. You must take it to someone else. It's time to get out of our homes. Get off of our lazy boy recliners. Get out of our rotten attitudes and out of our family strains. Just break out of our financial and our careers. And we talk about sports and the Olympics or what's happening in Israel today. How many know by the end of today, Israel could be in an all-out global war? People hate Israel. By the end of this week, Israel and the whole world could get thrown into this. We are at the time of the coming of the Lord. We need to shake ourselves and move with one another into more sobriety. Talking to Brother Steve in the back room, this could be our last services that we're even preaching, that we're even hearing. This could be our last Linden Booth or our last Sunday afternoon. Go out into all the world and live this gospel. Live this message. I passed by this billboard even yesterday, again, last night. I think they're giving us a little grace because we only paid through a certain time. They've gone overtime. But here, this billboard is in Blaine, Washington. And I wanted to ask the question, what are we displaying? This is still the God that answers back. Amen. I gave this again yesterday to another pastor. I believe it's another a book of Acts. Amen. We have a responsibility. In the next few hours, we're going to be out there again before thousands to be a lighthouse, to be a billboard. Yes. Amen. The emphasis is on Jesus Christ. Yes. It's not on our church. It's not on just giving out some pamphlets, you know, and giving out messages that will just bring people to us. But are we getting people to Christ? Amen. Some of our veterans, Brother Bill and Sister Rhonda, I wanted to show you some of our past victories. And as we go into all the world and bring this great commission, Brother Ken, Sister Joyce Andes, veterans, literally, Brother Ken and Sister Joyce, I don't know if some of you know this, but their work and their labors have literally gone around the world. From a sister that had six children and a brother that had six children and had sometimes three jobs to try to make ends meet. He was allowing the editing of the message. He's fulfilling the Great Commission. Go into all the world. It's been translated into almost every language. That's Brother Ken and Sister Joyce. But you have a part. Our housewives have a part. Our teenagers have a part. How many would like to see our teenagers filled with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. With a fresh baptism, our family start to fellowship around the things of God. Amen. Here's Brother Peter and Sister Karen again. These are veterans. These are men and women that are fulfilling the Great Commission. Brother Mark, that is like Brother Nehemiah, leading, building the walls. I've been thinking of this in the last couple days when you have so many distractions. It's like, I don't have time to deal with that. We're building the wall. God's doing something. We don't have time to argue and fuss and fight. It's time to get back to the Word and get back to fellowshipping around the things of God. Go ye into all the world. Begin to fellowship. Here's Brother Mike Kukon, Sister Patty. You know, friends, we're not, the end is not here yet. We still have a few moments. As much as I understand, the door's still open. Go into all the world as a commission. And we are under a mandate today. This is Brother Andy Mullum's father and mother from Sumas. And this is Brother Mark and Brother Ken Andy's. I want you to know that there are people that we influence in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our relationships, well, in partners that we have with people, or even sometimes it's with a big group that the gospel goes out. Sometimes it's in a convention. Sometimes it's in thousands of people. But it might be one-on-one. It might be you talking to someone, sharing your testimony, working with them. That's going to be happening this afternoon. This might just be casting out the net. How many know that we are called to be fishers of men? About half of you. Are you a fisher of men, of women? You are a fisher?
Yes.
How are you fishing? Sometimes it takes patience.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might not catch nothing, Brother Tim, and your bobber and every lure is just, and you wonder, it's useless. But you're fishing.
Right.
You're not responsible for catching. It's fishing.
Yeah.
You are fishers of men. But any good fisher lady or man wants to catch fish. Lord, anoint each one of us in our place for what we're able to do. Amen. Brother Ron Caldwell, you like that, Sister Jessica. He's on to his reward. He's laid down his backpack. He's laid down his war veteran that he was naturally and spiritually. But he did what he could for the gospel. Taking his memorial service, I would say it all over again. He loved the Lord Jesus. He loved this message. He did what he could for the gospel. What is going to be your story? I was driving, coming back home after dropping off Brother Hammermeister, and I was streaming Brother Tim Pruitt's service, laying to rest our Brother Adams. Last Sunday, he's in church. Tuesday morning, he gets up to go to work. Had his devotions, had his personal time. By that evening, his heart had stopped. And by Saturday, they're laying him into the ground. Think about it, friends. And I thought about the seriousness of our life. What is going to be said over you? What is going to be said over my life?
Yep. That's right.
Is that okay to ask the question?
That's right.
Here we are going into all the world, doing what we can.
Yes.
Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, this is Jesus.
Yes.
Go ye into all the world. Let me just have a few seconds to explain this. For a lot of years, people thought going into all the world was going on a missionary trip and buying an airline's ticket, which might cost maybe up to $2,000. Then you need to go and get a motel. Then you need to have food. Then you need to leave your family. And you need to have insurance. And you need to, you know, have a translator. And you need to have a tent or have a church. Friends, that's not all that Jesus had in his mind about being a missionary. Go ye into all the world isn't just getting on an airplane and having meetings and elevating just the pastor or the minister or the minister's wife or the deacon's wife. How many have got their eyes on those type of things and they've become so disappointed? When misunderstandings come or issues come up, and they will, and they will, we must have our eyes on Jesus. We must have our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world as a commission today that we are responsible in the Great Commission. The Great Commission.
Amen.
It's our responsibility today.
Yes.
Let's go to Revelations 10 quickly. And I put a scripture on the screen just now, but please turn to it in your Bibles, because I would like to go to the next chapter just for a moment. Revelations chapter 10, we spoke on Wednesday night. Revelations 10:1 is the mighty angel coming down. Revelations 10:7 was William Branham, the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be finished. That was his commission. He fulfilled that part. He received the sword. He received the word. It's not your duty to just get a revelation just straight from God. It came through a message. Get into the message, friends. Get into the word. It's there for us. There's no excuse today for us being lazy, selfish, into our own American or Canadian spirit. God forgive us. I'm just going to be the pastor of the church. God forgive us and forgive our people, forgive our church. Forgive anybody in the sound of my voice if we've got it all down to our grandchildren, got it down to our little doggy or our little cat or my sleep apnea or my issue. Friends, there's not going to be any sickness in heaven. There's not going to be no automobiles in heaven. There's not going to be airplanes in heaven. There's no bills in heaven. Go ye into all the world. And our prophet came and fulfilled his part. But John in the scripture is a type of every true believer. Verse 11, he said unto me, this is now this mighty angel speaking now after hearing the word, speaking to John, thou must prophesy again. So it's not just tapes and books and tracts. And Brother Branham said, he's talking to every true believer. John is a type of every true believer. Eat the book. And then prophesy again. Let's all say again. Before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That's our part. Now what I wanted you to turn to, and we don't need to put it on the screen, but chapter 11 is about ready to be fulfilled. Friends, we are living in a time when watch the fig tree. Watch Israel. It's always been the timepiece. And for the last how many days since October 7th and 8th have they been in a war? So if that's happening in the natural, what about the spiritual? It's no wonder you're being bombarded. It's no wonder that there's spiritual terrorists trying to destroy your faith and your confidence and get you distracted. Friends, you are bigger than the distraction. You are bigger than that devil that's hunting you, telling you you're no good, you're not going to make it. Come on, Joshua and Caleb group. We are more than able to inherit the land. I don't care if they're princes or princesses or whatever they are in the message. Don't get caught up under that negative spirit. When you leave that situation, you ought to be encouraged. I'm going on with God. I only have about 60 seconds on this subject. Revelations 11 is now going back. The Jews are going to receive Moses and Elijah. And you can read that in verse 3. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And friends, I don't know who's going to be president, but it's not up to you and me to get all out in our placards and start promoting the president of the Great Tribulation. It's not the man or the woman. It's the system that's perverted. I wanted to remind you in Revelations 11 is Moses and Elijah. That's verse 5 and 6. Moses and Elijah are going to come back to Israel. Wake up, Gentile bride. We're at the end time. Here we're coming back to End Time Message Tabernacle at our part, and what are we displaying? I'm just really feeling like we need to bring it down to you and I. Here we are. This was last year's a newspaper article magazine that literally was mailed out to thousands in Whatcom County, and every person that walks into the fair can receive one of the magazines, and there is an advertisement with our little church, and this year you're on page 27. It's amazing. Sorry, I had to black out the image that's right above ours. Maybe the negative will bring the positive. Amen. You don't need to know who it was or what it was. You'll see it, I'm sure, in the next few days. But you can see there, it's kind of amazing. Deratech, the company right next to us, I don't want to go out on a limb. When we first moved here, when I was 16 years old, I worked with the owner of that company. And now he started his own company. But here we are on page 27, just another lighthouse, just another opportunity. They may never come to our church, but maybe they'll be sitting in the stands waiting for some, and they'll just, you know, put in our church. Start looking at a service or looking at some ministry or song. Go ye into all the world. This church is going into all the world every day. Every minute. Now it's not just Sundays and Wednesdays. It's every day. Some of you've noticed. Amen. Every day. We are going into all the world because it's part of our commission. It's part of what God laid on our hearts to do. It's part of your tithing. It's part of your offering. It's part of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And end time evangelism. Very good message. End time evangelism. The end time messenger and message should meet with end time conditions. Don't you think so? This message could not have been preached 40 years ago. Think about this. No, the end time message and messenger has got to meet. Bring that up to August 4th, 2024. Some of us weren't even born 40 years ago. Some of us were toddlers or younger. Some of us were in the world. Thank God that he waited until the season and time for the word to be revealed to you. This end time message and messenger has met. Back there in them days they had, it probably wouldn't have worked. But it's got to cope with end time conditions. Be converted. Believe the gospel signs. I tell you what, friends, you're hearing more in 30 minutes than people hear from all over the world about the message of the hour. Brother Steve Clark is going to minister in a few minutes. And friends, we are under the end time anointing of the rapture. We're not going to give you a bunch of packets how to endure the tribulation. 3 months of water and milk and all kinds of canned food. Forget it, friends. You've come to the wrong ministry, friend. We're not going to be here in a tribulation. Stop talking like that and even thinking like that. And stop telling your children they're going to miss the rapture. No, tell them they're a part of the rapture. Say, when do I do that? When they come forward? When they're in sin, when they're horrible. When the earrings and the short hair and the purple hair, and that's when you talk to them like this. You talk to someone that's out of sorts. You bring them the word. Give them a good spirit. That's the message. That's the message of today. Wash your souls in the blood of the Lamb and believe the gospel. That's the end time signs are here, the seed of the gospel. I'm so happy that God has sown seeds into your heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's revealed the message to you. I think about half of you are happy. Amen. I'm happy the Lord's brought seeds into your life. But what are we displaying? What is? You know, I thought about this a week or so ago. The sign, this picture that's on the outside, I put it on the screen, the cross in the rocks. We have a cross on the inside, but the cross on the outside. There's literally hundreds of cars, maybe thousands that go by, and buses. It's not a stale wooden rock cross church that's going to bring someone to the Lord. It's going to be the life flowing from somebody going to all the world. Speak. Live. And even if you don't have a chance to speak, your very life is screaming out a message. We're going into the camp services. We've come in through some camp services on both sides of the border. But I'm speaking about this Linden Fair that we're going into. You might not have a chance to give your testimony or speak and lay out Serpent Seed or Godhead. But your very life, the holiness, the atmosphere. And don't devalue what God's done in your life. Make him a sandwich. You can pray. bringing the food. And in your prayer time, please fill up the prayer time.
Yes, amen.
You can pray for those that are active in the booth. There might be one sister, one brother, and they've given and they've given. We're going to need the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
I looked at the weather. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
But we have something great to give.
Amen.
Listen, this billboard's been out here for over a year.
Praise God.
I really wished we could have kept it longer. I wish we could have maybe, you know, put another scripture, another quote, done something different. They've kept it up for some reason longer. But it's been displayed there, and thousands of people have saw that sign.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
And I think of your safety. I think of the sheep's and the congregation's safety. Some have mentioned different ideas about little signs we can put in yards and people's yards. And I'm always concerned about the people's safety and people that would hate the message or people off the street. I don't want anyone injured. I don't want anyone doing something that you're not safe.
Right.
Even at the booth, you know, we're going to meet a lot of characters.
Yes.
But you were a character too.
Yes.
I was a character.
Yeah.
Some of us are still characters.
Yeah.
I think we're all characters. I hope we have character, Brother Steve. How are we doing? Am I 20 minutes? When's my time up? Is it 40? Is it 11:40? When's my time up? How much time do I have? No. We've agreed. When did I start? I got 2 minutes. This is our last quote. Here we are. Here we are in time. The red lights are flashing. Coming of the Lord is at hand. Listen. The end time message should meet end time conditions. Where they've got off, the message ought to bring it back. Always, end time message meets end time conditions. All the way through the scripture. You can talk about it. We can sing about it. And we can talk about Malachi 4. Now I'm coming to the end of the quote. But restore the faith of the children back to the fathers has got to be more than a scripture. It's got to become a prayer and a reality. He promised it, and we're living in that day. God bless your Sunday. Hallelujah. I'll turn the service over to Brother Steve.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm in the amen section.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on, everybody praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know something? It's kind of like tag teaming, you know? We got the enemy down. I'm so glad Brother John got the enemy down. He's laying on the floor this morning, and I pray, God, we just finish him off. Amen. Praise His name. Let's turn to 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 16, verse 13. Amen. Brother John, you preached a wonderful message on your responsibility in the Great Commission. And my heart's desire this morning is to speak about anointed. And let me put this last bit, anointed for the Great Commission.
Amen.
Let's continue right on there. We are anointed for the Great Commission. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, and you'll take your seats. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward.
Amen.
Amen. From that day forward, he was anointed. May the Lord bless his word. Why don't you have your seats? Amen. We are anointed for such a time as this. We see in the scripture, we read about Esther and how Esther's life was anointed for such a time as she lived in. In that time where she could get into the king and she could speak to him and save her brethren. And you and I are anointed for a season, as Brother John just ministered just now beautifully, a time for the Great Commission, but we need to be anointed for this Great Commission. In Psalms chapter 23, verse 5, David writes this, "And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." These are the lines I want you to look at as they are anointed here. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. To do the work of the Lord, we need to have the anointing inside of our lives. I desire to make a statement here to you, for you today, that you are anointed with life that came from Christ Jesus. You're not anointed by any man's spirit. You're not anointed by any evangelists or men before us. You are anointed by the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you once again about Esther and how Esther, when she was called as one of the maids that would come forward. I want you to notice she came with many maids and they were looking upon her life and they were looking to see whether or not she would be good for the king. Now there was many maids there with many attributes and much character, but there was going to be one woman that would obey the voice of the chamberlain. There was the chamberlain there to instruct her exactly how she should step forward and how she should walk and how she should present herself and how she should be anointed for the hour. And we're thankful for the message of this hour that we've heard preached. We're so thankful that we've heard an Eliezer speak to us, but it wasn't just the anointing of a man. It wasn't just William Branham standing before us and opening, although he was the prophet of the age, but it was God that was speaking through the vocal cords of William Branham to tell us how the king desired for us to live. And as we begin to live under the anointing, we became eligible. We became that one that could be that queen of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must be anointed by the seed word of God. We need to have that word in the inside of your very being. Oh God, place that word inside of us. May it not just be a religion to us or something that we're walking by this morning, but may God anoint us by the seed word that we begin to live. I am anointed. You are anointed to serve God. You are anointed there. You have been called over to be have dominion over the enemy. Amen. You don't have to sell yourself short. You don't have to cower to the enemy. We had just read, these signs shall follow them that believe. So I believe the message of this hour. We believe what the prophet has brought to us. And the word of God brings forth the signs in our life. Brother Solomon sang a song, Victory in Jesus. We have that victory because we're walking by faith in that word of God. In Revelations chapter 5, verse 10, it would speak, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I want us to see that we have been called anointed, and now we are called to reign. And Brother Brandon would say like this, how many Christians here, raise up your hand. Oh, praise God. We got, can we say, how many Christians here this morning? Raise up your hand. You're not a Christian by your own desire. It's not your desire to serve God. It's God's desire to have you as a wife, his desire to call you, as we read just here moments ago, to be kings and to be priests before God. Now, if you notice in the scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, that Samuel, he came and he took a horn of oil. And we recognize that the Holy Spirit has been poured into our lives from the horn of oil. Yes. Now, the great shepherd has anointed your head with oil. And there's some things in scripture that are absolutely symbolic for our lives. And we see the Holy Spirit is poured over your head. The mind, now we're speaking spiritually, as Paul has said, the mind of Christ has been given to you. I want to tell you that the horn of God has poured oil into your life. The oil hasn't, now we'll come to this in just a moment, but the oil hasn't come from someplace else. It has come from the horn of God. And so the mind of Christ must be in you. Brother Brandon would say, a reality to dwell in the channel of Christ, to have the mind of God. Do we have the mind of God this morning? To have the mind is to dwell in the channel of Christ. Many people have the confusion of how do I have the mind of God when I walk in this natural life and I like pizza and I like to go to the mountains and I like to have friends and I like to do this and I have all these things I like to do. I don't feel like I've got the mind of Christ. Well, the prophet tells us in reality to have the mind of Christ is to walk in the channel. To walk in the channel of Christ. In the message in 1954 in Witnesses, you can't have the mind of Christ and the mind of the world at the same time. You can't be in your own way and in God's way at the same time. You've got to get out of your own way to let God have His way. You've got to get into the channel, friends, to have the mind of God. You've got to lose your own thinking, your own feelings, your own abilities, and you need to get in the channel of God. In the message of water separation, the mind of Christ in you. That's the only way you can stay alive. How many wants to be alive? How many wants to remain spiritually alive? The only way to remain spiritually alive is to be anointed by the Word of God. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, the only way you can stay alive, that's all I live by, is by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, pour of the oil upon our heads from thy horn. The scripture tells us for us to protect our thoughts, to protect our head. Your head in the natural controls your limbs. It controls all the nerves that's inside your body. We need to protect our mind, to protect our head. And the scripture tells us to take the helmet. How many's got your helmet on? How many knows what the helmet of God is? It's the helmet of salvation. And place it upon your head for protection. The oil has been poured, the anointing has been poured over your head to protect you. It is poured there and it is intended not just to stay in your head as a mental conception, but it's intended to pour from your head and drip down as it did across the beard of Aaron and down onto his chest and his breastplate, all the way down to his loins, all the way down to his feet. He should be absorbed, saturated. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost in our life needs to saturate it. It needs to ooze from the very ground of our lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon us as rain does upon the earth and begins to saturate our ground. Many times we're so dry and so parched and we don't know where our next drink is coming from. But may we pray today, Lord, by the seed word of God, may it come and bubble up in our being that it might saturate our very being. Oh, may our heads be protected by the oil of God's Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, in as we've spoken before in Psalms 23, as David relays himself to be as a sheep of the great shepherd. And David says these words of reference, and he's practiced this, and he knows this as a shepherd. He says, now, in summertime, in Palestine, we see that there's all kinds of flies that fly around. And these flies, they get into the respiratory system of the sheep, you know, through the nose or in the ears. And as it gets in their nose and their eyes and the ears, it causes all kinds of irritations and inflammations. Oh, friends, I'm going to liken this because I'm going to tell you just a moment, the enemy that we fight day and night. He's like those irritating flies. And if you don't knock them off your respiration system, they'll get on the inside and destroy your very lifeline. They destroy who you are. And David begins to tell us here, he begins to say, now, this infection can lead the sheep to blindness. We're not talking about blindness of your eyes, but we're talking about blindness, spiritual blinding. And it causes the sheep not to be able to eat the word of God properly. You get to the place where Satan comes against you. Now notice in the scripture, we hear those words, Beelzebub. That word Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. And in the first signs, we find out the flies come in, but the shepherd knows how to deal with the flies. The great shepherd knows how to deal with the enemy. Do not fear, do not be dismayed, for our God is with us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit upon in the word of God is upon you. And he knows exactly how to deal with these Beelzebub that comes against you and tries to cause inflammation and infection inside of your life. So what does the shepherd do? He begins to apply an antidote on the head of the sheep. And what is that antidote? It is oil. It is linseed oil. It is a seed. It's mixed together. And it's an anointing that causes the sheep to be free from the vials of the flies that would come against them. But it's not just drip, 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 and I let away them go. No, it is poured and it's literally smeared. It is smeared all over. Now, this is symbolism, friends. It's smeared all over from the head down to the body of the sheep so that the wool becomes slippery. Friends, today I want to tell you, God has poured the anointing of his word upon your life that nothing can stand against you. There's no principality, no power. There's no prince of the air that can come against you because you're fortified by the anointing. That anointing that is anointed with the great commission to go forth and preach this gospel and to live this word. Hallelujah. I read in James chapter 5, verse 14, if any are sick amongst you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's not just merely the oil, but it's the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith in the word of God that shall heal the sick. It's not just a man's spirit that anoints you. It's the word of God we've been preaching that comes from the being of the heart. And it's become part of your whole being and it knocks the enemy off. Oh, praise God. We are anointed from the horn. We will read as a reference in Luke chapter 1 verse 69. It says, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. What is the scripture speaking of? That horn that we're speaking of today is Christ Jesus. When Samuel took the horn and out from the horn, he poured the oil upon David's head. It was the symbolism of Christ being poured upon the people. It's Christ, the horn of our salvation. It's in the Old Testament language, yes, but it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, the strong one. Oh, out from the horn, out from the horn came. Brother Branham would say in this message, believe in God, all seven compound names, our victory, our banner, and our shield, and our buckler, and our healing, and our salvation, our provided sacrifice, all laid in him. Out from the horn, friends, out from the horn. It all laid in him. And when he died at Calvary, he spoiled principalities, raised up, throwed up his hands out, said, it is finished. The devils trembled. Hell shook. It's a type of every way. And he rose up on Easter morning. I am he that was dead and is alive again. I will send the comforter unto you. It's not just a feeling that we tremble and wave in the spirit, but the comforter has come. The comforter is in the midst of God's people. The comforter has spoken the word of God. The mighty angel has descended from heaven. And we've heard the shout and the voice. And one day we're going to be raised up at the last trump. Oh, this anointing is poured upon your head. Now, I want you to notice in contrast here for just a moment. Notice that we're not anointed by man's formalism or theology. You have been anointed by the horn of God. Man tries to shift for himself. He always has. But that's not God's way. No matter who we are or what we think we become, we have to remain under God's anointing. Now, I want to point you back to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and chapter 9. We won't read it because we don't have the time. But we want to speak here and say here that Israel had become formal. They had a desire to have a king instead of hearing the voice of God. Now, as you remember, Samuel was so discouraged. He was feeling so down because Israel, they desired to have a king rather than listening to the voice of God through a prophet. So Samuel felt like he was being rejected. But you know what God said to Samuel? Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. They've taken on a formal and theological spirit. So we find then Samuel going, and we find the story begins that Saul was looking for his father's donkey and so forth. And he comes to a place and Samuel meets him there, and Samuel anoints him with oil. But I want you to see something, because here we see with David, we read that Samuel took the horn and God said, take up the horn, fill it with oil, and go anoint the son of Jesse. But with Saul, we find Samuel going, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took the vial or a flask or a bottle of oil. Right. It wasn't the horn.
Right.
It was a man-made item that was filled with oil. And God said, hey, listen here, Samuel, when you go to David, I don't want you to take that flask. To Saul, sorry. I don't want you to go take that flask over to David. No, I want you to take the horn. This is not going to be a man-made show. This is not going to be a man-made container that is carrying the oil. Man-made anointings are like a flash in the pan. I'm going to say something really serious to the church here today. In trying to do God a service without his will, we read like this. Brother Branham says like this. Remember, the Holy Spirit can come and anoint a person, and still it's out of the will of God. Samuel comes to Saul, anoints him to be king, but that was not God's provided way. God had been raising up through a lineage a king that he would choose at the right time. But the people got ahead of God. And they wanted to have their own king. So they built their minds around a theology or something that they could do. But God is not going to have a man-made system. God is not going to pour out his spirit with just a container of human flesh or mental ideas. Brother Brown was saying the infallible word of God. And so is many churches built upon man-made theory and doctrine and dogmas that won't stand the test of God's word.
Hallelujah.
Again, he said, Saul found out that theological vest of his didn't fit a man of God. And it, what? And usually it don't. This man-made system, your theology or your memory verses or whatever it might be that you try to jam into your mind will not fit God's structure. It might raise you up into the popularity of people where you can quote like anybody could quote. And you can say just the Bible says. And you can perform in front of the people with a silver tongue. But I want to remind you here, as the prophet of God would say, remember, the Holy Spirit can come and anoint a person and it's still out of the will of God. I'm asking the Lord today to give us discernment. I'm asking the Lord to show us that it's not all about a man, and a man can do nothing for you. You could come through here and I could anoint you with oil and I could pray for you and you be healed and walk out of the building. It has nothing to do with Stephen Clark. I could tell you and I could proclaim over you and it could even come true, Brother John. But I want to tell you, it does not mean that it is the will of God. We need to have the discernment. We need not to have a flask pour over the anointing oil. No, we need the horn. We need Christ Jesus, the Word, to pour over our lives. Oh, God's got a plan. And I'm finishing off with this. God's got a plan. And he's not looking for the biggest nor the strongest in his plan. He's not looking for those that stand head and shoulders above the rest of us. No, he's looking at the pedigree line. He's looking at your lineage. He's looking who he's chosen. He's looking after a man or a woman after his own heart. He's looking for somebody that has thirst within inside him, as David said, as the deer panteth forth from the water, so my soul longeth after God.
Amen.
He's longing for those that have been chosen and anointed to be kings and priests before God, which we read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
Yes.
Let me encourage you like this. Oh, praise the Lord. We got the devil on the ropes. We're going to finish him now. And you know how we're going to finish him? So you might, I recognize that you have this anointing. That you are sons and daughters of God. That you have been elected by God before the foundation of the world to be a Christian. You have been elected to put forth Mark 16 in action. You are that people of God that come and don't come on their own claims, no false claims, but they accept the Lord Jesus and allow him to work in their lives. Oh, friends, let's not just hold back. The oil has been poured over our lives, and it's been pouring out unsparingly. Remember I said that it's poured upon your head, dropped down to your, so to speak, spiritual beard, onto your shoulders, down into your chest, onto your loins, down to your feet. And Brother Branham will say, and that's the way God pours the Holy Ghost on man, not sparingly.
Yes.
Baptizes him into it, anoints him with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Oh, your human spirit's got to die. Brother Brennan says you got to reckon that your human spirit's got to die. And you are anointed with life that was in Christ is upon you. Romans 8:11, the Spirit with that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in you. It would also quicken your mortal body. We always like to say, no, your. Why? Because Christ has been poured over an elected son and daughter of God. I want to fast forward now, David. David is now anointed, and he's walking there. He didn't bring him to the palace immediately. No, he had something to learn. We're walking through tests and trials and toils and snares, but there is a promise that we shall reign with him. Oh, and while we're here upon this earth, we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What you speak, what you bind in heaven, what you speak and bind on earth is a representation of what God is doing. His word comes forth out of your mouth, and every demon of hell has to obey the voice of the believer. Why? Because you are an adopted child of God, and whatever you say, whatever you say, you've got the ring upon your finger. You're writing out the checks. You're, whatever you say should come to pass. We got to get into that channel, the mind of God. David did, and he killed a bear and a lion, and it came to a Goliath. We're finishing strong on this now. We're going to come against a Goliath. We're coming against the Goliath, and he's going to come and try to destroy us and rip off our heads. But if you know who you are, and you know that you've been on the backside of the desert, not just anointed, a flash in the pan and rising to royalty, and then the Spirit of God taken from you like Saul. No, you have been anointed to reign, to be chosen after God's own heart, to speak the word of truth, getting into the channel, the mind of God, as David did. You need to have those experiences back there in the desert and bring them forward. He could not have killed a Goliath with five smooth stones of faith if he did not have that experience that God walked with him and talked with him and communed with him. Thus much so, it's not just anointing that falls upon our flesh, but you have to know that Jesus Christ speaks with him. And when you speak to him, he speaks back. And as we've been speaking, it's a God who answers back in every part of our lives. We are anointed to reign. That's who you are. You're anointed with strength. Why? Because the oil from the horn. The oil from Christ Jesus has been poured upon your head. Let's stand together and let's sing that song that we just sang at the last of the service. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. I think that about finished the devil till tonight. How many's looking forward to Brother Ed speaking? Brother Ed Hammermeister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing the giant's song we sang. And Brother John, you'll conclude. Amen.